Let me start with a slightly uncomfortable thought and feel free to disagree with me for a moment. A large part of the consulting industry still operates on a very simple promise. Give me your problem and I will deliver the right solution. It sounds professional, doesn't it? It feels structured and, to be fair, it sells extremely well. But there is a small flaw in this logic that we tend to overlook in everyday practice. Because in many cases, the solution fits perfectly to a problem that doesn't actually exist in the way we think it does. And yet, we keep doing it. We build plans for futures that cannot be predicted. We define goals that we hope are somehow right, and then we wonder why reality refuses to cooperate. So maybe the real issue is not that we lack good answers. Maybe the issue is that we are far too quick to provide them. If we take a step back and look at how most consulting work is done, we usually rely on a logic that we have all learned and for a time successfully applied. We define a goal, we analyze the situation, we create a plan, and then we execute. This is the thinking behind business plans, strategies, and large transformation programs. And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, this approach works extremely well. As long as the environment is stable, the goals are clear, and the future can be reasonably predicted from the past. The challenge begins when we leave that kind of environment. Because a large part of today's reality is no longer predictable in that way. And this is where things start to break. We are applying tools designed for a predictable world to situations that are fundamentally unpredictable. And then we are surprised when things feel slow, resistance, or simply don't work. Effectuation offers a different perspective. Instead of asking how to get from point A to a predefined point B, it invites us to start with what is actually there and explore what can be created from it. If you work systemically, this might already sound familiar. You don't assume that you know the solution. You assume that something useful can emerge through interaction, through shifting perspectives, through dialogue, and through engaging with a system, meaning with the people involved or affected. And this is where the systemic thinking and effectuation meet in a very natural way. Now, how does that look in practice? Let me give you two examples. Example number one comes from politics, where everybody has solutions but no moves. Now imagine a mid-sized city that wants to redesign its city center. Less traffic, more livability, more space for people and local businesses. At first glance, everybody agrees that something needs to change. And then, almost inevitably, the discussion turns to a debate about solutions. Retailers are concerned about losing customers. Politicians emphasize the need for change. The administration brings in data, studies, and best practices from other cities. Everyone is doing what they have learned to do. They are trying to solve the problem, and yet nothing really moves forward. The reason is quite simple. They are trying to solve a problem that each of them understands in a completely different way. At that point, I usually step in as a consultant and interrupt the flow of the discussion. I might say, for example, I might say something like, I have the impression that we are moving very quickly towards solutions, but we have not yet been looking at the same situation and have described the problem out of each perspective. This often creates a brief moment of tension and hesitation because it challenges the expected process. Then I invite the group to take a step back and enter a different kind of conversation. Instead of asking which solution is right, I ask, what would success actually look like for you personally in 5 years? And suddenly, very different images begin to emerge. For the retailers, success means customer flow and economic stability. For the administration, it means a more vibrant and accessible public space. For civic groups, it means a place where people enjoy spending time, even without consuming. As these perspectives become visible, something then suddenly begins to shift. From there, we move to the next question. What do we already have that we could use, start working with today? And instead of developing a perfect master plan, we identify existing resources. An empty shop space, a committed local initiative, and a willingness from the city to allow temporary experiments. What follows is not a final solution, but a first step. A temporary space that is used in different ways, where ideas are tested, where people gather real experience. And this is where real development begins. My second example comes from a mid-sized company. I worked with a mid-sized company 3 years ago, operating internationally, where the leadership team had developed a clear and well-structured transformation plan. New structures, new processes, everything carefully designed on paper, it looked excellent. In reality, however, the situation turned out to be much more complex. Cultural differences became visible and resistance emerged, not openly, but persistently. The usual reaction in such situations is to refine the plan, intensify communication, and push harder for implementation. Instead, we decided to take a step back. We shifted the focus away from the plan and towards the current reality of the organization. We asked questions like, what is already working here despite the challenges? Where do we see energy and willingness to engage? And instead of rolling out the transformation everywhere at once, we started where movement was already possible, like a pilot study. Small initiatives, voluntary participation, real collaboration across countries. With each agreement that was made, the process became more stable. Not because the original plan had been perfected, but because something meaningful had emerged that people were willing to support. And that makes all the difference. Now, what can you take into your own practice? If you reflect on your own work, there are a few implications that are surprisingly simple and at the same time quite demanding. First, we need to become more cautious about rushing into goal setting. Very often, when we ask people what they want to achieve, they give us answers that sound reasonable but are not yet deeply grounded in their actual situation. A more useful starting point can be a much simpler question. What is actually present right now, and what truly matters with that? Second, we may need to rethink what we consider progress. Progress does not necessarily come from a perfectly designed plan. More often, it comes from the next steps that are feasible under current conditions, steps that do not put too much at risk, but allow for learning and movement. And third, we need to take relationships more seriously than we usually do. The future does not emerge from a concept or a strategy document. It emerges from interaction, from people who are willing to engage, to contribute, and to co-create something together. And perhaps it is the most uncomfortable sight in all of this. We spend a significant amount of time producing answers and far too little time making sure that we are asking the right questions in first place. So maybe this is the key distinction to take away for you. If you are valued as a consultant primarily because you can provide quick and convincing answers, you are meeting expectations, but you may not be creating real change. If, however, you are able to shift the questions in a way that makes it impossible for people to fall back into old patterns of thinking, then something meaningful begins to happen. Or, to put it in a more provocative way, Consultants who are proud of having the best answers are often part of the problem. Good consulting is not about making things clearer. It is about making it impossible to ignore what really matters. In that sense, start to ask better questions. Everything else will follow. That's it for now. Thank you very much for listening. I look forward to the next episode and say thanks for now. Bye-bye. I'm Kai Kochmann.